Lift up your heads, no need to mourn. His hand is stretched out still, for unto us child is born to fulfill.
Amen. If I could sing like that, good gracious. Oh, and if you're wondering, some of you might be visiting, if you're wondering why I was sitting so close to Teresa, she's my wife. And I learned a long time ago I have to share that because I got questioned about that one time by a person that didn't know that we were married, and they were visiting the church, and they saw me with my arm around her. And so I said, from this point on, I will make sure that I share that that is my wife. And so it's good to see you this morning. If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll be in Matthew chapter 2. And the title of the message this morning is The Star of Christmas. And I'm going to try to keep focused on the star, and then next week we'll look at the wise men, and I think that you'll see also how it makes a great parallel to Veterans Day as we go through it next week. So let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And then they go into the scriptures. Verse 5. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed. And watch this. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, notice that Jesus is in a house by now, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for how you involved people, the heavens, the angels, and us today in the birth of your Savior and the cross and in the resurrection. Lord, we thank you for the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to get right into this, and because I want to get through these points because I think that they're so important. And this is a familiar text. It's a text that we read every year, especially around the Christmas season. And so we can sometimes familiarity can cause us to become numb to some freshness within the text. And so I hope that you can see a few things. And today I want to concentrate on the star and Christmas. And I want you to see some elements in this story concerning the star and what its purposes and things of that nature is. And there's four of them that I want to point out. And the first one is this, the wonder of the sky. The wonder of the night sky. You might want to write down these verses if you'd like, but Psalms 19:1 says that the heavens declare the glory of God, or declare the works of God. In other words, when you look at the heavens, it's God's glory that has been displayed before us. I love Psalms 8, 3 and 4. In fact, I want to read it to you because it's so powerful. In fact, I want to read verse 1 and then skip over to verse 3. These might remind you of some hymns that have been written. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens." And then look at verse 3, and it reminds you of the wonder of the sky. "When I consider your heavens," think about that, when I consider, that means when I meditate, when I think on the heavens, "the work of your fingers," as from Genesis, "the moon and the stars which you have ordained, What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? You know what he's saying here? He's saying, when I look at the heavens, and I look at the sky, and I look at the planets, and I look at all of your glory, and I see how massive it is, it makes me wonder that you, how do you care for me? Why do you care so much for me? He means that in a positive light, not in a negative light. And then we think about Genesis 1:14, where the Bible talks about how the heavens and the stars and all these things have been created are for times and seasons and things of that nature. Matter of fact, how many of you remembered to set your clocks back last night? I didn't. That's why my arms are still down. I got up an hour early, and I enjoyed it because I had a lot of time before church. I realized it about 30 minutes later, I've got up too early. And I always do that, but I would rather get up too early than be late. One time we showed up at church and nobody was there. It was this time of year, and it was a time for Sunday school, and there wasn't anybody there. We were in the parking lot, and I said, "Teresa, I know I'm a Christian, and I can't understand why everybody got raptured but us." I couldn't figure it out because there was nobody there. Well, we didn't set our clocks. But did you know we set our clocks to the solar system because it's so accurate? And you know what's interesting is just go outside. In fact, last night, I don't know if y'all have noticed the moon lately, that big round orange thing. It was right over Lindale High School last night. It looked like you could throw a baseball and hit it. It looked that close. It was beautiful. I tried taking a picture of it, but I couldn't get my flash to quit. And it kept throwing, it messed up the picture. But I want to tell you, the sky is beautiful at night. Go outside on a clear night. You know, that's one of the things that we missed that those ancients celebrated a lot, is they looked at the sky. Well, we're in the house watching TV or whatever, and we have a roof over our head. We don't get to see the sky that often. Unless you stay, like Cliff says, in a five-star hotel where you can look up, you'll see at least five stars through the roof. That's what he says a five-star hotel is. But the Magi were these ancient folks that studied the stars. In fact, the word star that we have in our text comes from Aster, which is where we get our word for astrology. And so think about the wonder of the sky. Now look at the second one. The wonder of the scriptures. Look at what happens when they come to Jerusalem. Now, the first thing that happens is they see a star. Now, there's an argument of, did they see the star literally in the east? Was the star right over them? Remember, they could be up to 700 miles away from Jerusalem when they saw this star. They're in Persia. And so they look up, and there's this star. Now, you've got to understand, these guys studied the stars, and the stars are in perfect movement. They're in perfect time. In fact, they drew maps between the stars, and they came up with all these different things so that they could study them. And if anything appeared in the sky that was out of the ordinary, these guys could catch it like that. I think it's good that the Lord came and was born on the earth when there wasn't anything else in the sky. Because I look up at night and I have to really study, because there goes I don't know if it's a satellite flying by or an airplane flying by, and I see blinking lights going by. I mean, the skies are pretty busy these days. But in their day, the skies weren't busy. There was just the stars, or maybe an occasional falling star or something like that. And so they look up and they see a star that's out of the ordinary. It doesn't fit the creation, the cosmic view that they've had night after night after night. And you know what? They determined. I can just see them talking to each other. They didn't have cell phones, so they are having to holler at each other and say, "Hey, did you see that star? Did y'all see that star?" And I'm sure Numbers chapter 24, verse 17 came to their mind, and they realized this is his star. It's the Messiah that is to come. And so they take off, and I'm sure they went to Daniel, and we'll look at that a little next week, but they figured up the math. And they realized, you know what, it's time. It's time for the Savior to be born. And so they leave to come find baby Jesus. And this leads us to our second point, the wonder of the Scriptures. Look at verse 4. You remember, they get to Jerusalem. They don't have a star once they get to Jerusalem. They just know to go to Jerusalem. And so they don't know where Jesus is. And so they come, and Herod says, "Let me call the scribes together and the chief priest," and let's pick up on that in verse 4. "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ," y'all, that is so heavy if you had been there, just this very word. They walk up. It was the Jews that should have recognized this. They should have already been looking. And they walk up and says, "Where is this Messiah that was to be born?" Can you imagine how they felt? Can you imagine knowing that the shepherds have already got some word out about a baby Jesus? They probably dismissed that and thought, oh, they're just messed up in the head. Something's wrong. But now they are troubled when they hear it. So the scribes answer the question and they said, well, according to the law, according to the scripture, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 5, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now I want you to see something here. Is God not only used the wonder of the sky, He used the wonder of the scriptures. Do you see how we come to Christ? He still uses the scripture. He used the scripture with them. He could have allowed that star to continue all the way, right literally, to the place where Jesus was at. But He removed the star. The star appeared. That got them on their journey. They had enough scripture and enough light to know where to go. The star appeared. But then when they get to Jerusalem, there's no star. You see, God gives more light as we seek light. And so they begin to seek the Lord and they begin to ask questions and they lead them. The scripture comes back to play, Micah 5:2, that He's to be born in Bethlehem. So they take off to Bethlehem, not according to the leading of the star. They take off to Bethlehem by the leading of the Word of God. Do you obey the Word of God the way these wise men did? But did you know because they obeyed God's Word, guess what happens? When they get close, the star reappears. The Bible tells us that. That's the wonder of the Scriptures. But then look at the third one, because I don't want you to miss these significant points. Look at the wonder of the star. Look at verse 9. I'm having to skip for time's sake, but look at verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed. Remember, the king says, when you find the child, bring back word to me so that I can come worship him too. We'll look at that next week. Now, we know that that was actually a lie. He really wanted to kill the Messiah. So look at verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. You see what happened? They got the scripture. They took off to Bethlehem. They get to Bethlehem. It's about a 6-mile trek. By the way, this is the first Star Trek. And they get there. Captain Kirk wasn't there. And they get there, and they see that a star reappears. And so there's the wonder of the star. Now, there's two things I want you to realize about the wonder of the star, but let's read verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. You know why? Because the star confirmed the location of who they were actually coming to see and to present gifts to, the Messiah. They weren't rejoicing with exceedingly great joy because there was a star. They were rejoicing because it led them to the Messiah. It's a real important point. But there's two things about them that were miraculous in this star that I want you to see. The first one was its timing. The star appeared at the birth of Christ. Didn't appear too early or too late. It was appeared at the birth of Christ. Now, I don't know if it appeared the very day He was born, and then they had to take off, because remember, this is not a short journey. They couldn't make this in a day or so. This could have took up to months to make this journey to see Jesus, because they would have gone from 600 to 700 miles. It could have been many weeks or whatever. So we don't know how soon God allowed them to see the star. That's really insignificant. But what is significant is this, that it appeared at the time that the Savior is being born. Number two was its movement. I can't stress enough this second point. Its movement. This is a star that starts, it stops, and it hovers. And its whole reason was to show people Jesus Christ. Now I want you to see four different exclamations of this star. I'll go through them real quick. There's four suggestions of what this star was. People through the years have tried to figure it out. Some say it's a comet, but I don't believe it's a comet, and I'll tell you why. In fact, Halley's Comet made an appearance in 12 BC, but that was much too early for Christ's birth. Another comet appeared for about 70 days in March and April of 5 BC. That's closer to the time frame of his birth, but it doesn't explain the miraculous movement. That movement's important. The miraculous movement of the star towards Bethlehem. Then there's a second belief that it was a conjunction of planets. That's actually a very popular theory of what that star was. But I don't believe that's what it was either. A conjunction of planets. Kepler, one of the fathers of modern astronomy, pointed to the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in 7 BC, later joined by Mars in February of 6 BC. However, once again, the timing isn't right. It doesn't explain the movement of the star. In other words, that movement is a supernatural miracle of God. So some have said, well, it was a supernova. And by the way, it's interesting that it was Kepler that also pointed out the conjunction of planets, but it was also Kepler that actually preferred that it was the supernova that appeared in Matthew 2. Here again, the last supernova that occurred in our own Milky Way was in 1604. It is reported that it was so bright that you could see it in the daytime. So the ancients sometimes would get comets and novas confused. And so that one, because of the movement, it can't be explained. In other words, they still can't justify how it moved. And then here's what I believe that this star was: a manifestation of God's glory. Amen. You see, this star, the Magi, I don't think they had a problem with what it was, because they termed it His star. That's what we read in the Scripture. So why do we fuss over all of these other exclamations when it was His star? You see, this star was different, and they noticed it because it didn't fit the normal movement of the sky, which shows you that it was a creation God that put the sky into being. It was a creation God that put the stars into being and put the moons and the planets and all the different things to be. God put it there. He put it there. And something different arrived, and they realized this is the star that is listed in the book of Numbers, and they called it His star. You see, it was, if you think about it, remember when Israel was delivered out of Egypt? And remember that cloud of fire or cloud of light, shining light, that led them during the night? And they had the pillar, they had the cloud, and one of the two would lead them, so that they knew where to go and which way to go. And it would stop when it was time for them to stop. And it would go when it was time for them to go. And you know what's interesting about this star that's different from the other stars? It's like God had a light switch on it. They see it when they're back over in Persia. And then when they take off, He just kills the light switch. And then when they get there, Scripture comes to give them some guidance. You know what I think that was? The world's first GPS. And they get to Jerusalem, and they go to the king, and it's recalculating. And the Scripture comes up, and it tells them, go to Bethlehem. So they take off to Bethlehem, and then bang, God turns the light back on, and there's the star. And this star is not way, 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 way up into the heavens, because if it was, how could it stand over a house? That's just like last night when I was looking at the moon. I texted Kevin to see if he saw the moon, and I, at the risk of sounding ignorant, I didn't put it in there. Well, now I'm fixing to sound ignorant. But but I was just curious if when Kevin looked at the moon, if he had to look this way to see the moon, because he's in Sulphur Springs. Because it looked like the moon was right there over Lindale High School. But I got a feeling if Sulphur Springs, Kevin, was it still the same direction?
He couldn't see it.
Couldn't see it. Oh, where'd he go?
He's back
there
in the back.
Oh, there he is. But the point I'm trying to make is this, is that that star had to be low enough, and it had to be in such a way that they could identify that it was hovering over the house where Jesus was located. Now, that is real important, because that star was a representation of the glory of God. Now, there is a purpose in it, and that's our last point on this that I want you to get, is the purpose of the star. The purpose of the star was to point people to Christ. Did you know that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are involved in this scene that we have right here? You see, it was the Father that, by His sovereignty, put all this together, and by His sovereignty, allowed the Son to be sent to the earth according to the Scripture. It was the Son who is the babe in the house. And it is the Scripture. The Scripture's being involved too. But I want to look at also the Holy Spirit. Did you know it was the role in the New Testament of the Holy Spirit to point you and I to Jesus Christ? The Bible says that He would come and He would convict the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness. Whenever you get convicted or wooed by the Holy Spirit to believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is revealing Jesus. I believe that this star was a supernatural work. It was a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit of God doing the same thing that He's been doing for all of eternity, pointing people to the Son, just as He pointed the people of the Old Testament to Jesus Christ through prophets, through the Word, and through other means. He's still doing the same thing. Why would He have to start and stop and let it be something else? This is God revealing His Son, Jesus Christ. But did you know that these wise men point out how we believe in Jesus? They had enough light. They had enough Scripture to seek Him. They saw His star. They believed the Word of God, and it caused them to leave their homes and to leave whatever they were doing and to pack up all those camels and all of that stuff and to go all of those miles with those treasures. And I want to look at that next week. And we have the Father involved, the Son involved, and the Holy Spirit involved. But we also have the Scripture involved, and we have faith involved. The Bible said that they rejoiced exceedingly when they saw the star. The purpose of the star is to point the Magi to Christ. One of the interesting questions has always been this. It seems they were the only ones that saw the star. Why? How come nobody else looked outside and saw it? How come nobody else seems to be reported in the Scripture to seeing the star over the house? I'll tell you why. Because just as today, you and I as Christians are like stars pointing and leading people towards Christ. We are the lights of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And we are to let our work so shine before men that they may see our Father in heaven and praise Him. You see, today you and I point people towards Jesus. And you ask yourself, why couldn't other people see that star? Because that star was meant to be seen by those to whom God revealed Himself. You see, the Bible says that we can't come to God unless the Father draws us. You say, man, I hope I'm one of those. Well, let me give you a word of hope. He's not willing that anyone should perish. No, not one. He said that He died for all. Put your name in that. So you can count that the Holy Spirit will remember you and draw you to Christ. You see, that's what the star is all about, is to find Jesus. One more interesting thing, and then we'll end right here. It's interesting that it was a Gentile nation over in Persia, these men of astrology, these kingmakers, getting into that next week, come for miles and miles and miles at the beginning of Matthew. In the beginning of Matthew, we see a nation, a foreign nation, coming to the birth of Christ. But then we get to the very end of Matthew, those last three verses, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And we see the Great Commission where Jesus Christ is sending the world, sending all of the disciples into all of the world to make disciples for His name into all the nations. It was a nation that came to find Him in chapter 1. And then at the end of Matthew, it is Jesus Christ that is sending us into the nations. Isn't that a beautiful picture? You see, that's what He does. So what's the purpose of the star? It's to point people to Christ. What's the purpose of the Scriptures? It's to point people to Christ. What's the purpose of being born again? It's to reproduce. It's to tell others about Jesus Christ so that they too can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We're not to conceal it. We're to reveal it. It's a very important thing. Let's